Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's August the 22nd, 2006. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. By the way, if you'd like to see Wayne in person, you can do that tonight at the Terre Haute Grain Meeting Room in Terre Haute, Indiana. They're on Voorhees Street. It's right downtown. Kay Whitlock and Wayne Nelson and Paul Cooley on hand for a WILL Ag Outlook meeting that starts at 7 o'clock Eastern Time in Terre Haute, Indiana. That's just one of two WILL Ag Outlook meetings tonight. If you're a little closer to Normal West High School in Normal, Illinois, that's up around Bloomington, you might stop by and see Dave Dickey and Company, David Hightower, The Hightower Report, Steve Freed of ADM Investor Services, and Dan Zwicker of AgriVisor Services will be on hand this evening at the Normal West High School in Normal, Illinois. And that starts at 7 o'clock, of course, Central Time. They're both free, so come by if you have the opportunity. Dave Dickey and I both hosting ag panels tonight out on the road, one in Terre Haute and one in Normal. Other things that are happening during the Closing Market Report, of course, it's Tuesday. That means we'll get an update from the statisticians in Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Nebraska, and Minnesota about crop conditions across their states. Not only that, but we'll hear about the John Deere Pro Farmer Crop Tour. They made their way across South Dakota and Nebraska already, and parts of Ohio and Indiana, and they'll be in Illinois later this evening. We'll get that update as we go through this Tuesday edition of AM 580's Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com.
In Chicago on this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. September wheat at 359 and three quarters, down three quarters, or down 6 cents for the day. December futures at 5.5 lower at 380 on the settlement price. Corn futures now, the September contract at 219.5, off a penny and a half today. December futures at 236, were down 1.5 cents, and the March contract at 250.5, down 1.25. December futures for next year in the corn pit at 285 and three quarters were off three quarters for the red December contract. September futures in the bean pit 549 and a quarter. They were up a penny. November's were up 1 cent at 562 and a quarter for the day. And the January futures at 575 and a half finished the day a penny and three quarters higher. November contract up 3 cents at 622. Bean meal futures finished a dollar lower at 158.30 and the bean oil futures at 25.48. were up 31 for the day. Over at the Mercantile Exchange, August feeder cattle down 40 cents at $115.97.5. August live cattle at $87.05. They were off 47.5 cents. And the October live cattle, 22.5 cents lower at $91.42.5. Lean hogs, October contract at $67 even. And they were down a nickel for the day. Checking in on the outside markets, crude oil September contract $72.65 a barrel, up 20 cents. The CRB index at 336.56, up 106, and the dollar at 85.21, trading 53 higher. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 11,336 is down about 8 points at this hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look what happened to the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Why, good afternoon, Todd. How are you today?
I'm doing very well. Both you and I have a little bit of a sprint yet this afternoon to Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana. Looking forward to seeing you this evening.
Well, we're looking forward to seeing a lot of our listeners there. It's always fun to see them in person and talk to them and get to know them a little better. And we're just looking forward to the little social hour before the meeting and getting a chance to just talk one-on-one with a lot of our listeners, Todd.
Yeah, you and Paul Cooley and, of course, Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain, Kay and Company, hosting that program tonight. Starts at 7 o'clock Eastern Time, 6 o'clock if you want to drop by for some sandwiches and a light bite before we get started on the marketplace. Another place, by the way, if you're looking for somewhere to go tonight and want to drop in on a WILL Ag panel and you're in the northern part of our listening area and don't want to drive all the way to Terre Haute, Indiana, you can drop by Normal West High School in Normal, Illinois. David Hightower is up there of the Hightower Report, Steve Freed of ADM, and Dan Zwicker of AgriVisor Services, along with our own director of ag programming, Dave Dickey. That one's free, too, sponsored by Bates Commodities, and that starts at 7 o'clock tonight, of course, Central Time instead. So busy, busy night here in East Central Illinois and Indiana. And the folks on the Crop Tour, John Deere Pro Farmer Crop Tour, have been out and about, too. What have you seen from them? They'll be in Illinois tonight.
Well, we are hearing that they're not quite as enthusiastic about their yield numbers as the USDA was, Todd. That here's they've got in Indiana, we're finding maybe a little smaller ears, a little more tipping, and not quite, you know, not bad yields, but just not quite the yields that they were thinking they might find. So a little reduction yields when they get out there into the fields and counting some stuff. So a little bit of friendly news as far as market goes, but maybe not friendly to the farmer that was hoping he was going to have that 180 to 200 bushel corn.
Yeah, we'll hear from the state statistician's office in Indiana. One of those guys is out on the road with the crop tour, the other one, and delivering their crop progress report to Steve Wilson and Greg Preston, both discussing Indiana and talking about drier conditions over the past couple of weeks, and that that really has made a difference in the corn crop and probably for the bean crop there in your state as well.
You know, down in our area, we've been very blessed with rains. We started out very, very rocky in our area, and we had quite a bit of replant from too wet and just not favorable conditions and spread out planting. But since we got done replanting, whatever, we've been very, very fortunate as far as moisture has been, Todd. So, you know, we're going to have good yields here, but we're not going to have great yields because of the amount of replant and the rocky start. But, I mean, you know, well above disaster levels but for sure, but not the all-time yields we've had here by any means.
When farmers have been calling you today, what's the most often asked question that they're looking to get answered?
Well, I think, you know, have we bottomed yet, and how low can we go in these beans is the question that we hear time and time again. And, you know, it's just sort of a rocky feeling. And, you know, we're waiting these results of the Pro Farmer Crop Tour to sort of tell us, you know, is the are some of the private forecasters that were out this morning that were saying that the corn crop was more like 154 than 152, right? Or do we need to drop that back to 150 as we look at some of the crops along here? You know, is Iowa that much better than what we thought they were going to be with these August rains? And that's sort of the question that's going to tell us, you know, are we closer to an 11 billion bushel crop or a 10.5 crop? And that'll make quite a bit of difference in the carryover and how the ethanol plants and all the grain companies are going to react down the line, Todd.
Speaking of the ethanol plants, Iowa, western part of Iowa, South Dakota, pretty heavy with ethanol plants. Did you make note out of the crop tour that South Dakota's off 25% from their grain yields last year in the corn?
Yeah, South Dakota, I know the Pro Farmer was looking at about 96 bushel of the acre,
yeah.
And last year they were at 125, and the USDA has them at 100. And, of course, like you said, that's 25% down, and that's sort of rough on filling those plants.
And then when we talk to farmers about low levels here, the one thing that might be in disguise, at least the silver lining, is that the LDP may be in play. The question always is, how long will it be in play, and will the market stay low enough long enough for them to actually get something harvested and get an LDP made?
Well, there's two things going on, Todd, is if you've watched the crop progress reports and where we're at. You know, we're probably 10 days ahead of schedule here as far as averages go on crop being mature. So that's one of the things that will help us maybe get in while there is some LDPs available. The other thing is how soon and when will this possible rally that we're talking about happen or bounce back? The basis levels of, you know, staying terribly wide here right now, that's going to make that LDP trigger a lot faster than what it seems like by just looking at the board price.
And then one quick word, if you would, on why we have the 7 cent drop in the March wheat and December off 5.5.
Well, of course, a couple things. Number one, the rains that went through part of the wheat areas, feeling that way, and also the Brazilian tender that was talked a lot about, no confirmation as to anything happening out of that. So as far as the wheat business, we popped a little bit on that yesterday, Todd.
Wayne, we appreciate you being with us. And
we'll see you this evening.
You betcha. Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. We'll see him tonight in Terre Haute Grain at 6 o'clock for a light supper if you want to drop by for some sandwiches. 7 o'clock, if not, we'll get started on the Eastern time with that WILL Ag Outlook meeting. Kay Whitlock, of course, and Paul Cooley along for that one. If you can't make it down to Terre Haute, try out the Normal West High School, where Dave Dickey and Steve Freed and Dan Zwicker and company will be putting on a second, or first, depending on which direction you're coming from, Outlook meeting tonight. Both of those are free. Both of them start at 7 o'clock, one in the Eastern Time Zone and one in the Central Time Zone. You can find complete information on our website at willag.org.
Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincoln Land Agri Energy in Palestine, Illinois, producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at lincolnlandagrienergy.com.
Well, stick with us through the bottom of the hour. Meteorologist Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming, will join us for a complete look at the agricultural weather at that time. Our own Jay Cyril says tonight across the two-state region, skies will be clear to partly cloudy. Lows will range from between 57 and 63. Tomorrow, Jay says, in the far north, a mix of clouds, some sunshine, some scattered showers and thunderstorms during the afternoon. Elsewhere, mostly sunny. Highs will range from 82 in northern Indiana to 89 in southwestern Illinois. The extended forecast for the two-state region, Thursday and Friday in the north, a mix of clouds, some sunshine with a few scattered showers and thunderstorms possible. Elsewhere, mostly sunny. Saturday, variable cloudiness, some scattered showers and a few thunderstorms. That will take place on Saturday of this week.
The Carl Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carl Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
The western leg of the John Deere Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour rolled from Sioux Falls, South Dakota to Grand Island, Nebraska yesterday, with Crop Scouts spending much of their time in Nebraska. Neil Hadley is a Crop Scout who farms near Union, Iowa. He says media reports led him to believe Nebraska's dryland corn crop would be a lot worse than it actually turned out to be.
News reports through the summer leading up to this of some very, very depressed areas in the dry land parts of Nebraska. And checking back for the last 2 years on this tour, it appears as though the dry land averages are very, very similar to what we've had the last 2 years. But it did appear to be quite a little better than I actually expected it to be.
Mark Harris directs the Nebraska Office of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. He's also a crop scout on the tour's western leg, and Harris says there's no doubt recent rains have helped Nebraska's soybeans.
The drought has affected the soybeans a little bit. It looks like some of the lower pods, the closer to the ground, you didn't see too many. But one thing that was pretty unique this last round of rains seemed like setting a lot of small pods at this point in time. The blooming has gotten close to being over. But these rains have been really beneficial on the soybean crop.
The western leg of the John Deere Pro Farmer Crop Tour rolls across southern Nebraska Tuesday. That's today. Tour leaders will issue their corn yield estimate and average soybean pod count for Nebraska tonight in Nebraska City. Well, the eastern leg of that tour made its way across to Ohio and Indiana yesterday and will be in Illinois tonight. Farmers, media, international visitors, and state ag statistics officials are taking part, of course, in this year's tour. Those officials are on hand to get their own firsthand look at crops in major corn and soybean producing states. Indiana's director with USDA's National Ag Statistics Service, Greg Preston, talks about this season's growing conditions in his state.
We started out with slow planting progress compared to five-year average. That was primarily attributed to just a tremendous amount of rain that Indiana and along with parts of Ohio received starting around May 7th through the 20th. During that three-week period, we actually had 1 week where there was only a half of a day suitable for field work. So when we plot out our planting progress, you can just see a flat spot during that three-week period. So what that ended up doing to us is that we were about 75% planted at the state level when that rain hit, and it lingered throughout that May period. Nobody was able to get out there and actually do much planting, so our planting season is extended. We didn't finish planting corn actually in Indiana probably until more like mid-June.
Preston says the big difference between this year and last year's growing season has been moisture levels.
We contrasted our average departure from normal on the rainfall from this year to last year, and going from April 1 through pretty much around the August 1 crop report that came out, Indiana was 2.8 inches above normal precip. And when you compare that against 2005 last year, it was like 2.7 inches below normal.
According to Preston, the key word to describe Indiana's crop this year seems to be variability.
Well, one thing that the late planting and, of course, the replanting did give us is a certain amount of a variability. There's a lot of unevenness in some of the different fields, which is almost always the case when you deal with something that's grown outside and subject to the weather. But here we had a lot of replanting that was sort of just a part of the field, not necessarily the entire field were replanted in some cases. So it makes it a little bit difficult that there's a certain amount of inconsistency within fields, depending on their planting date.
Now, the eastern leg of the John Deere Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour will move across Indiana and into Illinois before ending in Bloomington this evening. The tour continues through Thursday. And while the state statisticians from Nebraska and Indiana have been on the road, others in their offices have been leaving messages for us here at WILL and other radio stations around the Midwest. Yesterday, of course, crop progress reports were released by USDA nationwide. They show that 93% of the soybeans have now set pods. That's ahead of the five-year average of 88%. 4% of the beans have begun to drop leaves. 2% is the normal average on the rolling five-year. Last year, 2% as well. Corn percentage in the dough now at 82%. The five-year average at 71%. Last year, 78% of the corn crop had made it to the dough stage by this time. 44% of the U.S. crop has now dented. That's well ahead of the 33% five-year rolling average. And 7% of the crop is said to be mature. On average, 6% of the crop is mature at this time of year.
Hello, this is Philip Steens with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Illinois Field Office, reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending August 20th. The statewide average precipitation for last week was just slightly above normal, benefiting the crops as they push toward maturity. District totals range from around half an inch in the northern districts to over an inch in the southern half of the state. Even with the precipitation last week, rainfall was again scarce in some of the drier areas in western Illinois. Topsoil moisture conditions improved slightly to 12% very short, 20% short, 66% adequate, and 2% surplus. Temperatures were below normal across the state, except for the southern districts. Corn is 53% dented, compared to 56% last year and 49% for the five-year average. 5% of the corn is mature. Corn rated good to excellent stands at 70%, up 1 percentage point from last week. Seed corn harvest has just begun in the state. 92% of the soybeans are setting pods, with 2% just starting to turn yellow. Soybean condition increased 2 percentage points to stand at 69% rated good to excellent. Farmers were also busy last week mowing, haying, cutting silage, emptying grain bins, preparing machinery for harvest, and attending fairs and crop field days. This has been Philip Steens with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Steve Wilson with the Indiana Field Office of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service with the crop weather report for the week ending August 20th. Irrigation systems were running in northern portions of Indiana last week, as some areas are in need of precipitation. Sudden death syndrome is evident in some soybean fields across the state, and there's concern among some farmers of poor grain fill in late planted and replanted corn. There are about 5.5 days suitable for field work last week. Corn condition is rated 72% good to excellent compared with 41% last year at this time. 83% of the corn acreage is in dough stage compared with 85% last year and 77% for the five-year average. 37% of the corn acreage is in the dense stage compared with 40% last year and 34% for the five-year average. Soybean condition is rated 72% good to excellent compared with 52% last year. 86% of the soybean acreage is setting pods compared with 95% last year and 86% for the five-year average. Third cutting of alfalfa hay is rated 68% complete compared with 65% last year and the five-year average of 58%. Pasture condition is rated 65% good to excellent. Livestock remain in mostly good condition as the heat has subsided. Pastures are in relatively good condition for this time of the year. This is Steve Wilson with the Indiana Field Office of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service.
This is Joe Prusaki, State Director from USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending August 20th, 2006. Widespread rain and warm, humid days have improved row crops and forage ground. The statewide average precipitation was 1.14 inches, or slightly greater than the weekly normal of 0.95 inches. This was the fourth consecutive week with greater than normal rainfall in Iowa. Ponds and streams are recharging, but subsoils could still use more rain. There were 3.8 days suitable for field work last week, compared to 5.5 days for last year and the five-year average. Topsoil moisture rated 17% very short or short, 78% adequate, and 5% surplus. Subsoil moisture rated 43% very short or short, 54% adequate, and 3% surplus statewide. Corn condition was reported as 11% very poor or poor, 24% fair, and 65% good or excellent. This compares to the five-year averages of 12, 25, and 63% for the state of Iowa. Corn in or past the milk stage was reported as 96%, 4 percentage points ahead of the five-year average. Corn in or past dough stage was 77%, 14 percentage points ahead of the five-year average. Corn in or past den stage was 37%, 14 percentage points ahead of the five-year average. Soybean condition was reported as 8% very poor or poor, 12% fair, and 70% good or excellent. This compares to the five-year averages for Iowa of 12, 27, and 61% respectively. The percentage of soybean setting pods was 97%, equal to last year, and 2 percentage points ahead of the five-year average. This has been Joe Prusaki with USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crop weather report for the state of Iowa for the week ending August 20th, 2006.
This is Steve Parn reporting Nebraska's weekly crop weather report for the week ending August 20th, 2006. Rain and cooler weather returned to the southeastern half of the state for the second week in a row. Irrigated cornfields rated 75% good or excellent, while dryland cornfields rated 24, both below year-ago levels. 90% of the corn was in the dough stage, and 53% had reached the dent stage. Soybean conditions improved and rated 50% good or excellent. Nearly all the acreage planted had set pods, and 4% was turning color. Sorghum conditions improved and rated 53% good or excellent. 90% of the sorghum planted was headed and 24% was turning color. Third cutting alfalfa was 78% complete. Alfalfa conditions improved and rated 26% good or excellent. Pasture and range conditions rated 66% very poor or poor. This has been Steve Parn of the USDA's NAS Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, reporting the crop weather summary for the week ending August 20th, 2006. Oat, barley, and spring wheat harvest neared completion this past week, nearly 3 weeks earlier than the five-year average. Corn, soybean, and sunflower conditions improved as cooler temperatures and scattered showers increased topsoil moisture supplies. Topsoil moisture supplies rose to 47% adequate, an increase of 10 percentage points from the previous week. Pasture condition rating improved slightly from the previous week. The average temperature for the week was 67.1 degrees, 8-tenths of a degree below normal. Statewide, topsoil moisture supplies as of Friday were rated 21% very short, 31% short, 47% adequate, and 1% surplus. As of Sunday, August 20th, an estimated 75% of the corn acreage was in the dough stage, 27 percentage points ahead of the five-year average. Corn denting was at 25%, 13 percentage points ahead of average. Corn crop condition was rated 55% good or excellent, an increase of 4 percentage points from the previous week. Soybeans turning yellow was estimated at 8%, compared to 2% for the average. Spring wheat was 89% harvested, 37 percentage points ahead of the five-year average. Sweet corn harvested was 52% complete, 12 percentage points ahead of average. Potatoes were 27% harvested, 16 percentage points ahead of average. Sunflower crop condition was rated 64% good or excellent, an increase of 12 percentage points from the previous week. That's the weekly crop weather for the week ending August 20th, 2006. I'm Doug Hartwig with USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office.
And I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on WILL AM 580. In just about 2 minutes, we'll talk with agricultural meteorologist Don Day. Your regional newscast comes up next.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jeff Bossert. Police in western Indiana say a vehicle hit by a truck slammed into a charity bicyclist today, killing two police officers and injuring three others. Indiana State Police spokesman Sergeant Joe Watts says several police agencies were participating in the ride. The group was traveling south on Indiana 63, about 2 miles from I-74 in Vermilion County, near the Indiana-Illinois state line. Riders were raising money for surviving family members of state police officers killed on the line of duty. Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich says his proposed $1.2 billion energy plan would provide meaningful long-term help to consumers. At a farm outside Edwardsville, Blagojevich unveiled a plan that invests in as many as 20 corn-to-ethanol plants, 5 soil biodiesel plants, and 4 sites that would make ethanol from plant waste. Blagojevich wants to use biofuels to meet half the state's gasoline needs by 2017. He says his plan would put Illinois in a leadership position when it comes to being less dependent on foreign oil. An Illinois native who had been working for a military contractor in Iraq for less than a month was killed when his vehicle struck a roadside mine. Richard Todd Rhodes of Wilmington, North Carolina, died instantly in the explosion last Thursday that also wounded another man. That's according to his mother, Dottie Rhodes of Pekin. The 40-year-old joined the Marines and served in the first Gulf War after graduating from Pekin High School in 1984. Illinois' Republican candidate for attorney general wants the legislature to serve as an example for other governing boards. Stuart Umholtz says a change to the state's Open Meetings Act and establishing a public integrity strike force would end corruption within state government. He says corruption has a snowball effect and prevents people from pursuing public service and discourages individuals from bidding on public contracts. And foie gras fans aren't giving up their fight against Chicago's ban on the delicacy. The Illinois Restaurant Association filed a lawsuit today that says the Chicago City Council overstepped its authority in April when it voted to bar restaurants from serving foie gras. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
And I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. You're listening to WILL. This is the Closing Market Report. We're joined on this Tuesday afternoon by Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Hi, Don.
Hello there.
Tell me about weather as the crop tour progresses across the Midwest. John Deere Crop Tour scouts in Iowa today and Illinois today. Weather okay for them?
Yeah, there's going to be some nice weather in those areas, I guess northern and northwest Illinois and Iowa, I guess the two areas, especially in that central and northern areas of Iowa where it has been a little bit drier. But the trend still looks good for most of the Corn Belt over the next week or so as favorable temperatures and occasional chances for showers and thunderstorms will continue.
We're wrapping up the season here. The beans probably need a few rains to finish making some heavy seed as it heads towards maturity. I noted that I think 4 or 6% of the crop had made to maturity, but not too much at this point, so we still need a few more rains along the way.
Yeah, and I think we'll see that, especially we've got a chance for some showers and thunderstorms rolling across the Corn Belt this weekend, and then there'll be another system arriving towards the middle of next week. 2, maybe 3 chances for that over the next 5 to 10 days with temperatures warm, but not too hot, averaging pretty close to normal over all of the Corn Belt.
You and the National Weather Service take a look a little further out to tell us whether it'll be a wet, a dry, or a normal harvest season yet?
Well, right now the trend, I guess from what we're seeing looking 30, 60, 90 days out, is that it should be close to normal. The areas that may be a little bit wet are areas that are actually a little dry. Some of the western plain states, the northern plain states, they're projecting above-average precipitation in those areas, while near normal temperatures and precipitation elsewhere.
Well, that would be a lousy thing, a bad crop, and you can't get it out on top of that. That wouldn't be good. Tell me about South America and how they're setting up for their planting season.
Well, they need some moisture. It's been pretty dry down there lately, and while there will be some moisture in southern and southeastern and eastern areas of Brazil and some of the central and eastern areas of Argentina, they're a little bit below normal in that trend. At least in this forecast period between now and the middle of next week, looks to be on the dry side. And Australia, the same, pretty dry over there.
And a quick look at China for me.
China, near normal temperatures, and rainfall has gone into some of those central and northern areas that were a little bit drier. So it looks like they're going to get some precipitation over most of the areas of China, especially the central and northern growing areas.
We appreciate you being with us, Don.
Thank you.
Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, joins us on Tuesday afternoons. Don't forget, if you're in the Normal, Illinois area, to drop by at 7 o'clock tonight at the Normal West High School and visit with Dave Dickey and company. He'll be there along with Dan Zwicker and Steve Freed and Dave Hightower to take up an WILL Ag Outlook meeting. And I'll be in Terre Haute at 7 o'clock Eastern time tonight with Paul Cooley and Kay Whitlock and Wayne Nelson. Both of those programs are absolutely free. You can learn more on our website at willag.org. You have a good afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Chip Jorstad in Morris at 815-941-3706. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, and equal housing lender.